What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Mailbag time. This is your Saturday mailbag. If you don't want to wait till Saturday, you can always watch these at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. And check it out on Friday afternoon. Adam Azer here and Dan Schneier. What's up, Dan?
What's going on, Adam?
Oh, you know.
Excited to be here.
Looking at all the injury reports. Christian McCaffrey officially ruled out. These are just coming in hot off the presses. Julio Jones and A.J. Brown are out. Not only are we going to give you advice, we're going to tell you why we, specifically the two of us, are the exact two people that you need to be listening to when you're setting your fantasy lineup. I will convince you in just a little bit.
Nice.
We'll do some news and notes first, then we'll do our Apple Podcast questions and emails. Emails are at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That's the letter I. Apple Podcast is big for us. If you want to leave us a nice 5-star review, in addition to a question, it would be great if you would leave a nice comment about the show and tell people what you like about the show, including you love the Fantasy Cops. Well, they're coming back today. We got a lot of Fantasy Cops to get to because we didn't get to any on Wednesday. All right. News and notes. George Kittle, he really may not play against Seattle here. What would that do for Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk if George Kittle's out? And then you've got, who would you rather have in that game at tight end, Ross Dwelly or Will Disley with Gerald Everett out?
I'm going to go Ross Dwelly just because I trust them to use the tight ends more.
Okay. All right, but what about, so I think I'd be pretty interested in Ayuk if Kittle didn't play.
Yeah, Ayuk for sure. At this point, we now reached the point after his 86% snap share last week where there's no more games. They're not playing games anymore with Kyle Shanahan and Ayuk. That's over. He's playing most of the snap, so you can get him back in there. And he had, three red zone targets last week, cashed in on one of them. So,
yeah, right on Jair Alexander. He scored. Didn't have a great game, but he did score. And then Debo Samuel, 8 or more targets in every game, and he would become, or 10 or more targets, I think. And I think 8 or more in every game. It'd be very hard to get him out of your lineup, particularly in PPR. Curtis Samuel is going to play. Check your leagues for Curtis Samuel. 45% rostered. He's at Atlanta. I think we'll take a wait-and-see approach. But, you know, I said this on the Friday show. He was a top 100 pick before his injuries, so I don't see why he should be rostered in 45% of leagues. I do wonder if he makes Antonio Gibson even less valuable and J.D. McKissick if he takes those targets away. But I guess we'll see how it plays out. Julio Jones and A.J. Brown are out. Anthony Firkser will play, though. He's missed the last two games. That's the tight end for the Tennessee Titans. Someone's got to catch some passes. Who's it going to be for the Titans?
I think Firkser's not. We were talking about this before the show. I think it's an interesting play just because we've kind of forgot about him. And we were talking about all offseason how he's had a nice rapport building with Tannehill, how he could be a sleeper tight end. I wouldn't be, if you're looking for, if you're at that stage and most of you who didn't draft Travis Kelce or Darren Waller at this point are, and you need something at tight end, I wouldn't hate it in this matchup.
Yeah, look, we're not saying to start Firkser over Kyle Pitts or anything, no. But some of you are in dire straits at tight end. I still think, well, you probably take Dalton Schultz over Firkser. You're probably taking most people over Firkser. It's a dart throw. It's probably a DFS thing or something. 14-team league. Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton are out. Gio Bernard is out. Leonard Fournette should have really nobody take him off the field on passing downs now. they are probably not going to be playing from behind, though. And Jamison Crowder is going to play with Elijah Moore out. Who is more interesting to you? Easy one here. Curtis Samuel or Jamison Crowder?
Curtis Samuel, easy.
Yeah, I know. I said it was easy. All right, come on.
You did. I just feel so bad for that. That Jets offense is so far behind right now. It's going to take a while, I think.
I'm going to read something in just a moment. Got to bring it up here on the old laptop. How do you spell
always
your
good
name?
To announce you're going to read something before you actually read
well,
it.
Well, I want everybody to know why I'm stalling. Okay, let me read this in the meantime. Sunday. It's an NFL on CBS doubleheader. The early slate highlighted by a battle in the city of brotherly love when Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs try to rebound from a tough loss when they hit the road against the Eagles. Then a matchup between two legendary franchises as the Steelers head to Lambeau to take on Aaron Rodgers' Packers. A full day of football begins at noon Eastern with the NFL Today and a doubleheader NFL action this Sunday on CBS. So, yeah, the email of the day is actually not from an actual person. It's from a machine. It's from the fantasy journalist, Dan, who wrote a nice, you know, you get the fantasy journalist recap every week in your CBS leagues.
I know where you're going now with this.
So this is from our 2QB league. And I had some terrible luck in our 2QB league. The first 2 weeks, I played the highest scoring team both weeks. I finally got a win. I won by almost 100 points, I think. And I think of the highest scoring team in the league. So I have to tell you that so you know how full of crap the fantasy journalist is. But this is what the fantasy journalist said. Blah, 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 blah. I did this. I did that. These decisions gave Adam Azar a nice 12-point bonus, which only added to Adam Azar's domination. Coach Azar's decisions this week allow them to relinquish their title as the worst game day coach in the league. Parentheses, Coach Daniel Schneier wears the crown now.
I still don't know for a fact, though, that the fantasy journalist isn't really just you writing these in every week.
Yeah, that's why I'm so busy all the time. I write every recap for every league. Takes forever. All right, let's read some Apple Podcast questions here. From Slim Jimmy 4. Starter sit Michael Pittman or Chuba Hubbard?
I am going to sit Pittman here.
Yeah, also Slim Jimmy wants me to shave the letter J in my chest, which was something that came up on the draft-a-thon. I'm probably not going to do it. I'm just going to let you know. Not going to happen. From GHFHYR, choose two in full PPR. Nyheim Hines, James Robinson. Yeah, I know. JD McKissick or Zach Moss. Let's just assume he started Robinson. Now pick another one. Hines, McKissick, or Moss.
I like Moss a lot here. Again, starting to take the larger snap share there. The matchup's good, too. I'm going with Moss.
From M Beast, 10-team half PPR league super flex. I traded Dak Prescott, Daryl Henderson, and Marvin Jones for Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, and Keenan Allen. I'm told this is lopsided. So you give up Dak and you downgrade to Baker, but the rest of the trade is you give up Daryl Henderson and Marvin Jones and you get Chubb and Keenan Allen.
Huh. Yeah. It lopsided. I don't know if I would say it's as lopsided as it seems on paper here, especially given what we saw from Hunt last week. And just, I don't know, I just don't have the same feelings I had about Chubb and Allen as I did in the preseason, because last year, a lot of what made Allen someone who both me and you, Adam, were all over targeting in our drafts this year was the volume. And this year, a lot of that volume is going to Mike Williams. So,
oh, but he changes. Has plenty of volume, though. I mean, they
not as much
do.
As it was last year.
No, but I'm not disappointed in Keenan Allen.
I'm not disappointed in Keenan Allen, but I think a lot of why we loved him value-wise where he was being drafted is because we expected that same kind of volume.
You know, it's funny. I think I'd probably take him very similarly.
I still would because it would, but I don't know if we no longer see him as like the greatest value as we saw him at that time.
That may be. I'm not even sure if I... Who would you rather have rest of the season, Mike Williams or Keenan Allen?
I'd rather have Keenan Allen, but we were drafting him, you know, that's not a good comparison. I think you'd have to say to the guys that we were drafting in a similar range.
Oh, no, I was just asking separately.
Yeah. Would you rather Williams right now?
I would rather Allen just because he has such a track record and still only 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Let's see. Keenan Allen right now is...
Any injuries.
Wide receiver 15. He still has 33 targets in three games. All right, so he still has 11 targets.
Not low on that scale, but I was expecting potentially like target hog the whole year, top two, top three.
Okay. Well, I think you're being a little bit picky, but fine. Which side would you rather have? So then Dak, Henderson, and Marvin, or Baker, Chubb, and Keenan Allen?
I would take the Baker, Chubb, Keenan. I don't think it's so super lopsided, though.
Yeah, certainly don't veto it. From PJ Crisanti, grade the trade. Give up Gibson and Robert Woods. Get Zeke.
Again, as you know, Adam, I'm typically the get the best player in the trade kind of trade guy, but if your wide receiver depth is devastatingly bad behind Woods, I don't love it, and you're selling Woods as low as you could possibly sell him. But I haven't been huge on Gibson to begin with, so I'll take the Zeke side.
All right, you have to grade it. C is average.
Oh, he's getting Zeke, right? Yeah. That's a word. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to give him a B.
Okay.
Solid.
From J-Mac, you guys are my favorite podcast. Oh, thank you. Best part of my... Oh, that's so nice. So J-Mac is from the best city in Missouri, which is the barbecue capital.
Oh, man. I've never been to Missouri. No, that's not Missouri. Whew.
No, Memphis.
I'm glad I didn't say
Memphis
that.
Memphis has great barbecue, too.
You didn't hear it. You didn't hear it. St. Louis? Is that...
Yeah, St. Louis is in Missouri.
So St. Louis, right?
I've been
St.
to...
Louis barbecue.
Yeah, I've been there.
I don't know if it's a barbecue capital of the world. I was just in Austin, Texas, and that was unbelievable barbecue.
Everybody,
I would call that the barbecue Texas.
Everybody claims barbecue capital of the world, you know, like
there's some claims, but I think Austin probably has the best claim.
I don't think I had barbecue in Missouri. Anyway, here's the question. Pick one in PPR. One of them is Marvin Jones, so I'm going to eliminate him. Tim Patrick, Henry Ruggs, Hunter Renfro, Cole Beasley, or Emmanuel Sanders? PPR. Tim Patrick, Henry Ruggs, Renfro, Beasley, Sanders.
I'm going to go with someone who I don't think you would go with, Adam. I don't think this would be the most popular pick, but I'm going to go with Emmanuel Sanders. I really like what I saw last week. It's not just last week. He's had the air yards all season. Finally, it came to fruition last week. I want a piece of that offense. I know Beasley might seem like the safer play there, but I think Sanders is going to be a good player for the rest of the season.
I don't have a strong feeling. I think these guys are so bunched together. I'd probably go Renfro, but... Nah, screw it. I think I'd agree with you. Because it's not like the Bills are going to hold it back when they get a big lead in this game. They're going to throw and throw and throw. So go for Sanders. Bleed Green, 1991, is 3-0, but he wants an upgrade on Myles Gaskin. Should I trade Travis Kelce for Darren Waller and Daryl Henderson? Kelce for Waller and Henderson.
No. You can't trade Kelce. I've had a lot of people come to me this week asking about Kelce trades. For some reason, there's a lot of people thinking about trading Kelce. No, you have Kelce. You did a great job. He probably should have been drafted earlier than even we said, and we were pretty bullish on him. I think CBS as a whole, there's a lot of us taking him in the top six, even in some leagues. So look at that. I mean, he's the weekly cheat code for the tight end position, and tight end is just as bad as it's always been. Why not take the advantage every week? Waller doesn't look to be on that level right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I don't know how much. I look, Henderson, you'd have to take over Gaskin right now. But in PPR, Gaskin has 12 catches. He's got four catches per game. I don't know what format this is. Henderson does scare me a little bit. I think there's a chance Sony Michel, it's just kind of splits with him. And then you have a really bad situation. Henderson is the most injury prone player. Yes. He's already injured.
Already hurt.
He couldn't even get through two full games. So, or did he get hurt in week? Yeah, he got hurt in week two. Yeah. So I that's just, you can't do that trade. From Mideast Beast. Who performs better rest of season? Myles Gaskin or Cordarrelle Patterson, half PPR?
It's funny that we're answering this question and that I actually have to consider it. And I really am. I'm going to go, I don't know if you'll like this, Adam. I'm going to go with Cordarrelle Patterson. Maybe it's because I just watched so much of that Giants-Falcons game, watching it on film for my other podcast and just going back over that, but Cordarrelle Patterson looks good. He breaks tackles, he creates yards after contact, and he creates forced tackles in missed tackles in space. It may not seem like he should be a good asset as a running back, but they figured out a role for him and it's working and they're using him a lot. So I'm going with Patterson.
I probably Patterson earlier this season, but when I thought about it, looking back, there have been some times where he has been the lead running back a few games here and there throughout his career. And he really, as I remember, wasn't that bad. He might not. He's such a good athlete, obviously. He's one of the best returners ever.
Mm-hmm.
He might not be that bad. If you had asked me this question preseason, that if you told me in week four we were going to be asking Gaskin or Patterson, I would have said, oh, gosh, Miles Sanders, Mike Davis is out for the year?
Right.
Right.
This is just,
it's a shocking
this is just
question.
Another example, though, of why you got to avoid that dead zone for running backs. You can't be using that fourth, fifth round capital on guys like Gaskin because you're asking yourself this question every year versus guys like all these receiver breakouts you could have been taking swings on.
I don't fully agree with you.
Okay.
If you said round four, because you have to have some running backs, right?
But when you can get Cordarrelle Patterson types here, I mean, like,
that's a fluke.
In your free agent, is it a fluke? Every year we have these examples.
Yeah, sure. But we also have like Brandon Cooks, you know?
Brandon Cooks was being drafted.
Yeah, but he wasn't being drafted where Gaskin, like, you could have gone a running back in rounds.
But the more
four
swings
and five,
you take on these receivers, the better chance you have to hit on the breakouts and fill out your flex spots with them.
But isn't that the same for running backs?
Who in that dead zone running, in that fourth, fifth round running back range are we looking at now? Like, oh, that was a breakout we should have taken earlier. And how many of those are there every year?
I thought about that.
The Mike Davis and the Miles Gaskins.
Well, when DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, but he wasn't. Yeah, but that's only because of the preseason injury. But yes.
No, you're not really getting greatness there. I mean, you're getting Chase Edmonds is reliable. Daryl Henderson's been reliable when he's been healthy.
Which is not often.
Those two games.
Gaskin, Davis.
Yeah, no, they haven't. They really have not been very good. But neither have the running backs. Like Mostert and Sermon have been busts. You know, because that would be the argument. It's like, well, I'm not going to take a dead zone running back. I'm just going to wait on this guy. You know, James White was really good. That was a good pick. But I don't know.
You could get him really late.
Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette haven't really been good enough. In other words, you have to have some running backs.
But yes and no, because like if you're putting the Gaskin Davis types in that spot, in that starting spot, and you're not getting that many points, you can find someone who has a role somewhere, a McKissick type, you know, for example, and put him in, and you're not losing that many points weekly versus the upside of hitting on that receiver.
I understand you have to have some receivers in that range, but not every single one of your quote unquote dead zone picks has to be a receiver. Some of them could be running backs.
Okay.
Damian Harris gave you some production in weeks
one
and two.
I won't be doing it, but I don't see the value of these backs at all personally. But I mean, maybe, you know, you get lucky and you hit the one breakout.
Well, I'll give you an example.
We don't even have one example yet.
I'll give you an example of, I like to have running back depth. And so last week, did I get lucky? Yes. But I had to start Javonte Williams in three leagues last week. And thankfully he scored. And it made a difference. If he didn't score a touchdown, I would have lost one of the games that I won. I didn't want to start Javonte Williams, but I already am dealing with so many running back injuries. I had a lot of James White on my teams. Now that obviously White got hurt in the first quarter, but I forget, Josh Jacobs was out. I had to start him, Javonte Williams. So I guess what I'm saying is, you got to have some running backs. The running backs that went after the dead zone, it's not like they're doing anything. I mean, I guess you could say Tony Pollard is, but A.J. Dillon has been horrible. And I'm trying to think this argument out on the air. It's not really working so well.
But even in that example you just brought up, the Josh Jacobs one, right? Because I considered him one of the biggest. To me, he was the number one dead zone guy. I had no interest in him at all this season. I know an injury has happened, but didn't really look like it was going to surface into a great role even before that. But for that example, you pick up Peyton Barber, and you're not scoring that much less with Barber. In fact, you scored more with Barber than Gaskin and Mike Davis.
I understand, but in week two, Barber was terrible.
Sure, you're not losing much. But in week two, was Davis and Gaskin amazing for the difference?
No, like, in week two, I think Davis had seven catches, or was that week three?
Davis has had a lot of catches. I think that was the week two game.
They both have had 12 or 13 catches this year, so you're at least
okay
getting that. Look,
really,
I understand. Here's what I'd say. I did draft some dead zone running backs, not exclusively. It's not like that's where I targeted running backs. Obviously, the first two rounds is where I targeted running backs. I have plenty of good wide receivers. I didn't need to just take wide receivers in rounds 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 to get my breakout wide receivers. You know, I have some of them, but I was able to do both, basically. Get a little bit of running back depth and still have plenty of good wide receivers.
And I don't think that's impossible here. I'm not even trying to say that that's the only route to get breakout receivers. I just think you want to take more and more swings at receivers as you can to hit those breakouts, as many as you can. And what you're losing out on is really just these guys like Davis, Jacobs, and Gaskin, who don't really do much and make much of an impact for you, you know, bottom line wise.
It has been a pretty crummy year for the mid-round running backs. All right, how about a grade the trade? Oh, wait. From Tag Jr. Well, first of all, he's 0-3. Should he trade Dalvin Cook for Aaron Jones in a standard league?
I wouldn't, no.
Yeah, I think Cook's going to play. From Big Dog Wyatt, grade the trade. Give up Keenan Allen and Miles Gaskin for DK Metcalf and Jalen Waddle. Keenan Allen and Gaskin for Metcalf and Waddle.
Ooh. I think that's probably a no because of the guy probably doesn't have the running back depth to give up Gaskin. I don't really want any piece of Waddle until Tua's back, and who knows when that's going to be at this point.
From Patrick, I have a trade offer I've been going back and forth on. I was offered Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and Joe Mixon. And I would give up either Aaron Jones or Austin Eckler and either Jamal Williams or Tony Pollard. Now, he just wrote Williams, but I'm assuming it's Jamal because it says Williams or Pollard.
Right.
So let's say that's Eckler and Williams because I'd rather have Aaron Jones and Pollard.
Right.
Would you give up Eckler and Jamal Williams for Brady, Gronk, and Mixon?
And this is a one QB league?
Yes, and he already has Cousins and Tannehill.
And does he give his tight end situation?
No.
Okay, we have to assume, though, he probably has no tight end, or he has one of these, you know, two to five point per week type tight ends.
Yeah.
Because that's most of the league right now. That's,
he's,
you know, there's
he's
not
starting many. Anthony Firkser.
Okay, right. I think I do this, as weird as it sounds. I guess I have more faith in Mixon than others. He scored this week, and I think that's going to happen more often than not going forward. I love Brady. I've loved Brady all year. He was in my top five quarterbacks before the season. I think he makes a big difference weekly, and I'm not so sure the other guys anymore. I mean, Cousins has, so it's hard to say Cousins is not making a weekly difference. So it's close. I think I'd do it.
I'll tell you what Kirk Cousins has done in his last 10 games, 11
I know,
games.
It's incredible. It's insane.
Last 11 games, his 16-game pace is 4,841 yards, 41 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 112.3 passer rating, and biggest number for me, averaging 38.7 pass attempts per game.
The Vikings defense is done. It's been done for a while now.
All right. One more from Apple Podcasts. It is from... The notes I gave you, I mean, the font is so small, isn't it?
I was just going to say, Adam, why did you send me these notes in 3 fonts? I didn't even know this font was even possible before you sent it. I didn't think of, I'm literally going blind, straining my eyes, trying to read these questions along with you. I was going to complain off pod, but I'm glad you brought it up.
No, it's terrible.
It never happened again.
Terrible on my end. I mean, you could easily just increase the font.
I was
font.
Thinking about copying and pasting into a doc, but it's just like, do I really have to go through all that work for, like, come on, Adam.
Yeah, it's on me. From Cole, $2. Dear Wilson, Howell, Rivers, and Minshew. I have no idea. I'm 0-3 because of Robert Woods, Mike Davis, and a competent flex. I have Kelsey. Should I make a huge haul from a Kelsey trade at 0-3?
See, this is like everybody asks this when they're at 0-3. Like, do they trade their best player for a bunch of guys that might be able to help? And I'm always in the boat of no. Kelsey's not the reason you're 0-3 right now.
All right, so let me ask you this. You're 0-3, you trade Kelsey, you get Waller. Who's the second player that you need to get with Waller to make this trade?
I need a consistent producer, and who's going to trade any of those? I need like a Keenan Allen type. I need a consistent producer. Like, I'm not doing this for some receiver who doesn't consistently produce every week. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, unless you, maybe if you buy into the Mike Williams hype and you think you can buy high there, you can do like a Mike Williams type with Waller. I'm just not doing it though, because Kelsey's giving me my weekly advantage every week, and I don't want to lose that just to get an okay starter in Darren Waller.
All right. By the way, Sean McVay expects Daryl Henderson to be available on Sunday against the Cardinals. What do you think? Start or sit Daryl Henderson?
I mean, you're probably starting him because you don't have any other running backs to start. If you have Darrell Henry, he's drafted as your RB2, and I assume you haven't figured out, unless you maybe have like a Cordarrelle Patterson on your bench.
I easily could have drafted him as my RB3.
You could have, yes, Adam, because you're dumping those picks into that spot, into those spots. But
excuse me. All right, let me go find my Darrell. Oh, you know what? The one team in which I have Darrell Henderson.
What about that PPR listeners league we did where you're just pounding running backs from like rounds 3 to 6? How are you doing in that right now?
Which one?
The one we did like right before the season where you're like, oh my God, this is such a good running back value time after time, even though it was full PPR.
Are we playing this one out or was it a mock draft?
No, it was a mock. So we're not going to be able to find
it. Well,
no,
I think you might be talking about the Fantasy Football Today League.
I think so. I'm pretty sure it is. It was the listeners league and we were giving out the spots. And you're just like, oh my God, value after great value for running backs. And there's like Gaskin, Edmonds.
No. I would not have taken both Gaskin and Edmonds. FFT league, I drafted 3 running backs with my first 4 picks in a 3 receiver PPR league.
Oh, that's a tough sell.
Well, it wouldn't have been if Gus Edwards was one of them.
No, Gus Edwards in a PPR league, that just seemed like it was destined for success.
I think he would have been great. I think it would have been just fine.
Tons of catches there.
Anyway, I'm 2-1. And
are you?
Yeah, I sure am.
All right.
And I'll be 2-2 after this week. I'll tell you that much. But I have Robert. My starting wide receivers will be Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, and T. Higgins. You know, it's
T.
not
Higgins
so bad.
Is out.
I understand that would be. That's why I'm going to be, because I have to start Sammy Watkins this week and Brian Edwards.
And no one's ever had an injury at the receiver position before.
I had James White and I had Gus Edwards. I lost that, but I have Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry. And I have Brady. Let me see. This team, you know, I think I proved that this could work. Okay. Shove it. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the Fantasy Cops are here to settle your league disputes. I just want to see how I'm doing in total points here. Shut up, Dan. Well, this is what we're talking about. I already lost 2 running backs for the year. This is why
And you're already starting Sammy Watkins in one of your receivers.
Because I have a lot of injuries, I have to say.
1 receiver injury.
Yeah, but 3 injuries overall. That hurts my flex.
Yeah, but again,
I'm 5th in points.
Yeah, this team is a clear cut like 5 to 7 range type.
You're not even in this league. You don't even get to be in this league. Why am I listening to you? We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Fantasy Cops are here. Send in your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please, you have to put Fantasy Cops in the subject line. Here's the Fantasy Cops question from... Oh, come on, really? I didn't put a name on this? All right, whatever. Fantasy Cops, please help our league. I probably put a name. It's in like 1.5 font.
Exactly.
Please help us. Our league is going into anarchy if you don't settle this. We had a trade that was accepted between 2 managers that was Kelsey for Curtis Samuel, Robert Tonyan, and Kareem Hunt. Stupid trade, I know, but besides the point. There is a 3-day veto period where the league mates can vote to veto the trade. During this time, the manager trading away Kelsey added another player, so the trade was not vetoed, but it got canceled because his team would have had too many players, so the platform canceled the trade. After the 3-day period, the trade did not go through, and then the player decided he didn't want to do the trade anyway. Half of the league says it should have gone through right away and the trade should be pushed through and he can't cancel a trade 3 days later. The other half says you can't change rules mid-season and we should keep the three-day period and basically what's done is done. What should be done here? All right, so let's
Great question.
So he makes a trade and then he adds another player during the three-day veto window. So what happened then? That forced the trade to be canceled because the platform canceled the trade because he didn't there was an illegal roster. Anyway, then somebody gets buyer's remorse, decides, no, I don't want to do the trade, and half the league is up in arms and half the league says it's fine. So what would you do?
This one really puts me to the test because, as you know, I'm team no veto, but this is just disgustingly bad. So the first thing I would do is if you guys are taking this league seriously, you have to seriously have a conversation with the guy who traded Kelsey in this spot and be like, you really want to be in this league next year? Are you taking this seriously enough? Because this is, you know, it's an unacceptable trade to accept at any point. It's unacceptable, Adam. It really is. It's truly unacceptable.
Let me read the trade again for people who have forgotten. Give up Travis Kelsey, get Curtis Samuel, Robert Tonyan, and Kareem Hunt. Now you, by the way, are giving him crap for giving up Kelsey for a top 30 wide receiver last year, a top six tight, a top five tight end last year.
Are you defending that side of the trade?
No, I'm just saying it's kind of funny.
You really want to be tied to this for the rest of time?
No, it's just funny.
You want me to bring this back up that you defended this trade and played devil's advocate on this trade?
Kareem Hunt was top 12, Robert Tonyan was top five, and Curtis Samuel was top
30. Oh, you are?
No, I'm not. It's not real.
Okay, I hope not.
You can't, this is a bad trade. I don't think it's a vetoable trade.
It is if you're allowing vetoes in your league, in my mind. It's definitely vetoable if you're a league that does vetoes. I just don't think leagues should do vetoes. But
well, the point of the trade is that somebody got cold feet.
Right.
So you shouldn't allow that.
But also at the same time, there's the whole debate of the rules changing in season. And I've had this issue plenty of times in the two leagues that I'm commissioner in. And it's like, there are some people who just no matter what will be like, the rules were the rules. Doesn't matter if it's a stupid rule. We're sticking with it. That's what we had. And that's, you know, that's the fact of the matter. And so in this spot, I think that that's going to probably win over here. And the rules are, if you add someone in that period, it cancels the trade, I guess.
Well, I think the issue is you can't change the rules and we should keep the three-day period and basically what's done is done. I don't know. This is the way I see it. The two of them have agreed to the trade. One of the managers added a player so it didn't get vetoed. I think that trade with the added player should go through. Personally, I think that should be accepted, but
that's fair.
I don't know that we were super helpful here.
I think all trades should be accepted, so there you go.
Okay, here's one from Matt in Austin, the barbecue capital of the world, from what I understand. Oh, yeah. 10-team, $100 fab keeper PPR with a group of guys that have been together for about 5 or 6 years. Very important note. In this league, fab dollars equal real dollars that go into the payout pool at the end of the year. This week, with Chuba Hubbard being the top waiver priority, I put in a bid of $7. I am 3-0, but I could really use some running back help. Turned out, $7 was the second highest bid for Hubbard. Remember, fab dollars are real dollars. The 0-3 McCaffrey manager who plays in multiple leagues forgot that fab dollars equal real dollars in this league. He put in a bid for Hubbard for $53, higher than the actual entry fee to the league. This immediately got our commissioner's attention, and he reached out to the manager to address what we all agree was an honest mistake. He came up with a solution with that manager and then put it out for a league vote. His solution was that the manager is either allowed to retract his $53 bid and then either let the second highest bidder take Hubbard, which would be me, or have the option to still retain Hubbard for the rate equal to second place plus a $4 penalty for a total of $11 of his fab. No. That manager chose the latter. The league voted, and naturally, I was the one dissenter amongst the league. It doesn't have to be a unanimous vote, so the commissioner's ruling gets put into effect. The offending manager gets Hubbard for $11. He just thinks, basically, that the manager should be able to revoke the $53, but that he should have gotten Hubbard at 7 instead of this weird, you can have him at 7 plus 4 if you want.
Yeah.
What's weird to me is that he is the only one who voted against the $4 rule. I am totally in agreement.
The rest of the league is just cool with this 7+4 random thing, this random $4 penalty.
No, I am totally in agreement with Matt here. Matt, you should have Hubbard at 7.
Commissioner, where you came up with the $4 for the penalty. Is there some kind of math behind this? Did he really grind an Excel sheet and come up with, all right, he owes $4 more.
I don't get it, man. But I think Matt got screwed here, and I think he should have Chuba Hubbard at $7.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, we agree. Excellent. Okay, this one is from Steve in the middle of Canada. Hey, Gordy, Wayne, Mario, and Connor.
Who is hockey
Connor?
Who's McDavid, the best player in hockey right now.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
I know so little about hockey. I hope that's right.
I do know he's not Conor McGregor. That's the only thing.
McDavid. I think the last name is McDavid.
Got to get the music back on here.
I might have made that.
Had a situation come up involving the commissioner of a league I joined last year. As a rule, I don't agree with vetoes. I've never objected to a trade, but this felt incredibly lopsided and had me shaking my head. Here's the trade. An injured AJ Brown, Daniel Jones, parentheses, I'm not kidding, and an 8th round pick. This is the commissioner sent AJ Brown, Daniel Jones, and an 8th round pick for Cooper Kupp, Dak Prescott, Joe Mixon.
Oh, God.
And an 18th round pick.
Oh, my God.
So he did downgrade 10 rounds in the draft from 8 to 18, but he went from Daniel Jones, AJ Brown to Prescott, Kupp, and Mixon.
8th round pick in a keeper league isn't even that valuable.
I don't even know what 18 round. What is that all about?
Just allowing trades for every round. Okay.
But there's a veto mechanism built into our bylaws that require at least 3 owners to email the commissioner with their objection within 24 hours. What would you do? And what do you think of the trade?
First of all, hilarious bylaw right there with the ticking time bomb. We have to get this email off in 24 hours. That's amazing. But so this is this is one where I'll be honest with you. Fantasy cops alert, conspiracy theorists alert. Maybe put my tinfoil hat on. I think there's collusion involved. I think there's a chance that there's collusion involved in this between the commissioner and whoever this other guy is. And you got to think about this guy. How long has he been in the league? You know, has he been good in other years? There've been weird things going on with him and the commissioner in the past. Are they related?
Yeah,
there's
time
to think about collusion here. And so I don't know. For me, again, like when it comes down to the vetoing, it's almost an issue more for me of, do I want to play in the league with these players when deals like this are going down? What I would say.
How many leagues are you in?
Me right now, this is the most I've ever been, and I hate it. I think it's 14, and it's
right. So let me just stop you right there with this nonsense of you and Heath and all the people on this stupid show that I hate all of a sudden.
Stupid show. Whoa, you're really going off the rails. Now you're attacking Fantasy Football Today.
Say this stupid stuff about not vetoing trades and leaving leagues and kicking people out of the leagues.
Yeah.
You're in 14 leagues. I'm in 10. Mm-hmm. Jamie's in like 25. Dave, Heath, they're in the 15 to 20. This mm-hmm. might be his only league. These might be his only friends for all we know. We don't just kick people out of leagues. We don't just leave leagues. That doesn't happen in real life. Stop ruining Fantasy Football Today.
they're ruining it for themselves by playing in leagues with these people who make these trades.
No, I was going to say stop ruining Fantasy Football Today to you, but I was joking about that. Okay. So this is why you veto trades. We play in our office leagues, and nobody would make a trade this bad. But if they did, I'd veto it. I would write an email to my commissioner within 1 hour, and I would say, veto this crap trade.
Well, you better get it off within an hour. You would only have 23 left if you didn't get it off in that first hour.
Veto that trade. It is terrible. It is not okay. All right, from Dear Jack, Stan, Roy, and Gus. Jack, Stan, Roy, and Gus. This is from Matt. Jack, Stan, Roy, and Gus. You should know that.
Jack, Stan, Roy, and Gus? No.
Come on, it's Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, yeah?
How did you not get that?
Well, first of all, I'm not like a diehard Wolf of Wall Street fan. I've seen it like once or twice on rerun, and it's a very good movie. Not in my top 20, not in my top 25, anything like that. Good movie. Just something I feel like you should have definitely seen.
Adam. All right, but I'm just kidding. It's not from Wolf of Wall Street. I have no idea what it's from. It looks like it's from that Paul Simon song, Hop Off the Bus.
I'm definitely out on any Paul Simon type references.
Something a plan, Stan. Superflex Dynasty League. You may have just witnessed the worst trade ever.
Oof.
A rebuilding team who finished in last place in 2020 is 0-3. He just traded Jalen Hurts, 2 first-round picks, a second and a third to a contending team for Matthew Stafford and 2 third-round picks.
Oh, God, that's bad.
It's terrible. Vito,
it also makes no sense at all.
None.
He's a rebuilding team who last place last year, finished 0-3, and is now making a for now trade.
He gave up 2 first-round picks, a second and a third, and Jalen Hurts for Matthew Stafford.
Is this collusion?
No, it's stupidity.
Case of collusion, because I think what's happening here is this guy's making this trade and then quitting the league because it's dynasty, and you have to watch out for that in dynasty leagues. You really do. Be aware. My prediction here is this guy will be quitting in the offseason. That's my prediction. And then he'll be getting a cut of the guy who ends up winning with all those first round picks.
I would veto that league. By the way, Matt is from the same town as Spider-Man. Do you know where that is?
No, of course not.
I have no idea either. Oh, wait. You have no idea. All right, here are our emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com from John. If Tyler Lockett doesn't play, would you start Sammy Watkins, Rondale Moore, Terrace Marshall, Mecole Hardman, or KJ Osborne? Watkins, Rondale Moore, Terrace Marshall, Hardman, Osborne.
I'm going to take the flyer on Rondale Moore because I really like the matchup. I think it's low-key right now, but that could turn into a shootout pretty fast in that game. And I don't feel confident about this. Adam, I'm going to defer to you.
No, I would take either Rondale Moore or Sammy Watkins. Moore has a lot more upside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just take a swing.
Yeah. Time is the Baltimore game. I wonder. Hear me out. Go ahead. Tell me if you know what time it is.
I don't have it. I'm almost positive it's a 1 o'clock game, but
I think you're right.
Let me just make sure. Baltimore almost exclusively plays at 1 o'clock.
Well, they're in Denver though.
Oh, that changes a lot of my prediction.
Oh, it's a 4:25.
It's a 4:25 in Denver. Oh,
all right. So here's the thing. All of these games are late games. Lockett, Rondale Moore, Sammy Watkins, all late. Look at your score and see what you need. I can't see Watkins having a big game. He's more of like a 6-for-60 kind of guy. Rondale Moore has a better chance to catch a touchdown, better chance to have a big game. So see what you need. Good thinking. All right. Okay. I never give that advice. That was fun. Chase from a city north of San Diego. They're pretty much all north of San Diego. San Francisco. Someone in my league offered me Damian Harris for Beckham, straight up. What would you do?
Oh, interesting. I'd turn it down. I think that Beckham showed me something this past week. Looked a little bit like himself, and without Landry there now, there's a good chance for a lot of targets there. I'm going to stick with Beckham here. I'm not big on Harris in general.
I think he's getting Beckham. I think he's giving Beckham for Harris.
Yeah, right. I would stick with
Beckham. Oh, you just keep Beckham. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Yep. Brian from PDX. 10-team PPR league. I have McCaffrey. I was offered Dallas Goedert and Chuba Hubbard for George Kittle. I am 1-2. So he'd either be starting Gaskin or he could upgrade to Hubbard. We think it's an upgrade. But downgrade from Kittle to Goddard. And Kittle may not play this week, so he doesn't want to go 1-3, but what do you do?
No, it's a long season. We have an extra week now to get back into this thing. I would not do that trade, no.
From Austin, dear Jamal, Ricky, Priest, and Cedric.
Holmes? No. I just hear Priest, and I always think Priest Holmes.
These are... these are running
Cedric
backs.
The Entertainer, that's the only... Yeah,
Jamal Lewis, Ricky Williams, Priest Holmes.
Oh.
Cedric Benson. I don't know what is there a New Orleans thing here? I don't know.
No, Priest Holmes was never in New Orleans.
Yeah. I don't know. There were a couple of Ravens there. Anyway, who would you start out of my terrible running back options? Damian Harris against Tampa Bay or JD McKissick at Atlanta?
God, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I would go JD McKissick, especially if this is half. This is either even half point PPR. I'm going McKissick. If it's full, definitely McKissick.
Oh, these are Longhorn running backs.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Priest Holmes went to Texas? Wow.
Yeah. So that's Jamal Charles then.
Yes.
There you go. From Brett, grade the trade. Give McCaffrey and Hollywood Brown, get Swift and Diggs.
Give McCaffrey and Hollywood Brown, get Swift and Diggs. Ooh, that's not as bad as I first thought it would be when I heard the name McCaffrey going into another to another direction. I don't hate this, especially if you're in the 1-2 range and you're looking to get a quick win. I don't know, though. I feel like the Bills are spreading the ball around a lot more this year than they did last year as far as Diggs' target share goes with Sanders on the field with Beasley.
He's still getting a ton of targets, though.
He's still getting a lot of targets. Again, though, it's not like that hog role that it was last year, like with Keenan and him. That's where he really stays.
I actually think I would do it, which shocks me.
Yeah. I think so, too, just because McCaffrey's
hurt. Screw that. I like Marquise Brown. I like Marquise Brown. Enough.
I do like Brown, too, though. So, yeah, that's he has value. So, no, I changed my mind. I'm out.
Yeah. From Steven, dear Devontae, 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 and Devontae.
Adams, yeah.
Well, Adams.
Parker, Adams, every different spelling of Devontae, yeah, yeah. I'm sure.
McCaffrey manager. I have Swift at RB1. Who should I start at RB2? Tyson Williams, Michael Carter, Kenneth Gainwell, or double down on the Lions and start Jamal Williams?
I can't believe I'm going to do it, but I'm going back to the Tyson Williams well. I think we might get a little squeaky wheel here. There's been a lot of chatter of why the heck did they go away from him last week? They saw a lot of criticism, at least from my necks of the internet woods, people who break down the film for when they tried to run Devontae Freeman on an outside sweep, and Devontae Freeman running that specific play did not look good. And so they got to put Williams in the game, man. He's the one with the most juice. I don't understand what's happening there.
This is from Bobby. Start 3. Brandon Ayuk, Calvin Ridley, Hollywood Brown, Deontay Johnson, who is going to play, Devontae Smith, Tim Patrick, and Emmanuel Sanders. Start 3. Again, Ayuk, Ridley, Hollywood, Deontay. Ridley and Deontay are starting, right?
Yes. So this is one I really wish we had a bigger than 3 font for me to read back through on the email, but
no, I'll this do is my big. This font is bigger.
Oh, you're right. We are. But I actually am in a good font space now. I'm going to go Ridley and Deontay. I love Deontay if he's ever playing. And then we need one more. Is that what it is?
Correct. All right. We got Ayuk, Marquise Brown, Devontae Smith, Tim Patrick, and Emmanuel Sanders. For me, it's Ayuk if Kittle's out. And if Kittle plays,
same.
It's
Ayuk
no.
If Kittle's out. I think that's the move.
But if Kittle plays, I'm probably going with Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, Brown. Brown. Versus the Broncos. Give me Devontae instead. I know it's crazy, but give me Devontae if Kittle's playing.
From Nathan, give up Amari Cooper, get A.J. Brown and Aaron Rodgers.
Give up Amari Cooper, get A.J. Brown and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, one QB league I can assume here. I'd love to know who your QB is, to be completely honest. You know, if you have like Jalen Hurts, who you could easily have here, he was being drafted in that QB 10 to 15 range. I would never do a deal like this. But if you're desperate at QB, which I don't think is too possible in a one QB league, but I guess it is somewhat possible. Maybe I wouldn't do this, though. No.
This is from John in Cleveland. I bought into the Falcons tight end for the second straight year. First Hayden Hurst.
Me too.
Now Kyle Pitts. I'm not ready to drop Pitts, but would you drop Gainwell to pick up any of the following tight ends and bench Pitts this week? Dawson Knox, Evan Ingram, Cole Kmet, Tyler Conklin.
No, I wouldn't specifically. I don't see any of those four tight ends giving you any kind of weekly consistency. Knox will score some touchdowns on an offense that good sometimes. Ingram is done with the Jason Garrett offense. There's no ceiling there whatsoever. Cole Kmet in a dead offense, no. Conklin, no. So no.
From Austin, subject is Christian Kirk. I haven't heard much talk about him. I'm curious why we don't buy it. Am I crazy to think he is a low wide receiver 2, high wide receiver 3 this week? I don't think so this week. But also he says, you've talked a lot about Brown and Mike Williams breaking out. Why is Christian Kirk different? In general, do you guys just not buy it?
I don't think it's that we don't buy it. I think this is a good point that he's making, like, you know, when a guy takes this long to break out, we refer to them sometimes in the offseason as post-hype sleepers, guys that you can get at value because recency bias, combination of that, and just people, too many people being burned by them, they're just not interested at all. And it's possible. Christian Kirk was a good prospect, and sometimes it takes a little while for these guys to make the jump at the second level. But the reason I don't buy into it long-term is there's just too many mouths to feed there.
It's not really that long. I mean, this is his third year.
Right.
So it's not a third-year breakout. Like, it's not like a Mike Williams breakout. It's not like a Devontae Parker breakout or a Corey Davis breakout. So it's within the realm of possibilities. Here's the thing. Here are the targets. There are five players with 15 to 18 targets.
Yeah.
So the fact that Christian Kirk has like almost 60 more yards than any other Cardinals wide receiver or player for that matter, it just doesn't really make sense. You know, I don't know why he'd be that much better than everyone else. And if the targets are going to be that even, it's going to be hard for anyone to really stand out. I mean, Hopkins is obviously the best, but Hopkins needs to start getting more targets. You know, Christian Kirk has stood out through three games. Who's going to stand out for the next three games? I think that's kind of how we feel. If I could sum up the podcast thoughts, but I do think he's going to be, you know, worth using. And he actually was playing pretty well last year before his injury. He was more of like a big play touchdown or bust kind of guy, but he was doing some stuff. All right, a couple more here from Adam. I was offered Mike Williams for my Antonio Gibson. My running backs are Aaron Jones, Gibson, Moss, and Eli Mitchell. My receivers are Allen Robinson, Robert Woods, Antonio Brown, Hunter Renfrow, Tim Patrick, and Jerry Jeudy. So if he gives up Gibson, that means he's starting Moss or Eli Mitchell. But he would get Mike Williams. What would you do? He's 1-2 and it's PPR.
I would not do this trade. No, I don't think you're in a position to be trading Gibson at this time, given your depth.
He did say he was thinking of counter-offering to include Cordarrelle Patterson with Mike Williams.
It makes it a little better, but I don't love the idea of buying high on Mike Williams. There's been zero cases of him playing a full season.
Okay. And from Sam, who should I start this weekend? Miles Sanders or Allen Robinson?
Oh my God. I feel so bad for everyone who has Allen Robinson right now. They drafted him so high. This is just, that offense is so bad though. They have one of the worst offensive lines. Nagy's having problems getting good play calling in there. I'm going Sanders. I don't know how I'm gotten to this point, but I'm going Sanders.
Oh boy, two carries last week, so maybe squeaky wheel for Miles.
That's not much better either, but it's a squeaky wheel thing. There's been talk there. He got destroyed this week, Sirianni, for that.
As well he should. This is my squeaky wheel sound.
You had that load? Did you load that up on the spot, or you had that?
No, it came with the mixer.
Okay.
Okay, thanks to Dan Schneier. And to all of you I'll just keep it going. All of you for watching and listening, much appreciated. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good luck to you in Fantasy Week 4. And we'll talk to you on, oh God, this is so annoying. We'll talk to you on Sunday night we'll talk to you Sunday morning with FFT and 5. You know what? We're going to play it off with the Fantasy Cops. All right, take it easy, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.